So first up, I want to ask everyone a question. What does postmodern mean? What do you think postmodern means? Sorry? Could be. Yep. Postmodern, it's a word that gets tossed around a little bit. Anyway, my understanding and my interpretation, and a way that it gets tossed around a lot, is it basically means that whatever's true for you is true for you, and whatever's true for me is true for me. Essentially, it warps the concept of truth from there is an absolute truth to truth is whatever you believe. Now, this philosophy is believed by the vast majority of people under 50 in Australia. This belief system even goes to the point of complete absurdity when it comes to examples like this. I picked up the water bottle, I put the water bottle down. That is the truth. Nothing can change that. Exactly. Exactly. Because someone who is postmodern will be like, but I didn't see it happen, so it didn't happen for me. Sorry, but it did. Doesn't matter what you think, it did. That's the truth. It's the same sort of question as if a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, did it happen? Well, it's on the ground, so yes. But people will still say no. The truth of the matter is that I just picked up that water bottle. Nothing you can say or believe can change that. What this philosophy means is that someone can share their beliefs with someone else, and that person has complete freedom to dismiss it and dismiss what they are hearing as just that person's truth, and I don't need to accept any of it. I don't need to place, I don't need to pay any attention to it. This concept, this philosophy, is reinforced quite directly by our society. We treat cultures that are different from ours as sacred. Those cultures should be protected no matter what. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't value other cultures. Obviously, we should. That's really important. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't value other cultures. But heaven help you if you point out a flaw in another culture. We are very critical when it comes to our own culture. We address gender inequality and racism and everything else that falls into those brackets, and so we should. And we do that quite forcefully. But if we point out something happening in another culture, somehow that's bad. A lot of people have this perception that people's truth is sacred, and that if someone has a way of living that they believe is right, then that should not be encroached on, because that would be violating their truth. That's postmodernism. Why am I talking about postmodernism? I'm talking about postmodernism because it highlights something within our society. It carries with it a host of problems, but the cause of postmodernism is that we place massive, massive value on our own perspective. With that in mind, our perspective does not matter. Biblically, no matter how you look at anything, our perspective doesn't matter. Nowhere near as much as we think. God speaks with us and spends time with us because he values us. We are important to him. But when it comes down to what is true and what is not, our belief system couldn't alter a thing. This is why when we pray for something and God says no, we get angry. But why is the question that we ask? And the answer still comes back as no. We get angry because when it comes down to it, God has his own perspective, and his perspective is the only one that actually matters. Why does our perspective not matter? It doesn't matter because we are deeply and fundamentally flawed. For example, I don't know how long you spend getting dressed or ready to go out somewhere. But from what I understand, a lot of people spend quite some time getting ready. Whether that's for a party or going to school or whatever it is, or going to church maybe. And admittedly, I will admit that this has been me. I have spent an hour in the bathroom before getting ready, not putting on makeup. That's not my style. But I've spent time getting ready. I've put value in that. And that time has significantly gotten shorter since I had kids. But how many times do people get ready to go to a party or school and worry about their appearance? Or what people will think about them? We spend a lot of time worrying about this and never stop to think that maybe, just maybe, everyone else is just as concerned about how they look. And if all you are thinking about is what they think of your appearance, maybe, just maybe, all they are thinking about is what you think about their appearance. Not always the case, but I bet it's the case way more than we think. We value other people's opinions so much that it influences the way we act, and we become really concerned with offending people. And now we are living in the inevitable outcome of postmodernism, which is a culture which is hyper-concerned with offense. There is nothing wrong with valuing opinions. Valuing the right opinions is important. But we shouldn't value opinions so much that we are more concerned with opinions than we are on speaking the truth. I don't know if you've noticed this, but Jesus doesn't have this issue in the Bible. And when he's interacting with us, has Jesus ever offended you? He's offended me. Every now and then, it's like I've built this life, and it's like this house. And every now and then, like, pretend it's sitting here, he's just like... he's like, ha-ha, do it again, because it wasn't right. I stole that example. He doesn't care about offending us. And he never will. Because the reality is that our perspective doesn't matter that much. What we believe is truth has no effect on what truth actually is. What does the Bible say truth is? Actually, that's the wrong question. Who does the Bible say the truth is? John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the truth. And no matter what we believe, he will always be the truth. The simple, inescapable truth, the reality of who he is completely unchanging regardless of our perspective. Who here is a son or daughter? If no one puts up their hand, I'm going to be really scared right now, because you all have to come from somewhere. If someone doesn't raise their hand, that's concerning. If you're a son or daughter, you will understand this example. Parents, you might get this just that little bit more. Probably. Picture this. You are a parent of a child. Horrific place to be, I know. And you are in the supermarket with a five-year-old. Oh, doubly horrific. And this five-year-old is saying, but why can't I have this toy? Because if you have this toy, I can't send you to school this year because I can't afford it. Or something like that. Insert your situation here. Kayla, this morning, or this afternoon, just after church, we went and we had a picnic. And it was great. We were down at Drew Point. It was fantastic. But Kayla, you know, we're just starting to loosen the reins a little bit, and she's getting a little bit more independent, and she's pushing those boundaries. We're out on this oval, and she just bolts for it. And we're like, don't go past these barriers, because past there is road. She doesn't know why road is bad, but she knows road is bad, because we have told her road is bad. And we said, we will be very angry if you go past here. And off she went. See, from her perspective, everything's fun. She's having a great time. And we're just there going, don't go past those barriers, don't go past those barriers. Because that's important. God, why can't I have this? because this. There is always a reason that God says no. He's not vindictive. God, why did this relationship break down? I suck. Because you're going to have a wonderful future, but not with this person. God, why am I going through this season where everything is falling apart? I am a terrible husband. Because I am taking you to a new place where you have a bright future. Jesus, why did this person that I have been ministering to for years walk away from you? I feel like a terrible follower of Jesus. Because I didn't die so that everybody would have a relationship with me. I died so that everybody could choose. Those were all questions that I asked God. And those are the answers that I got. What parent doesn't desire to give their child good things? But sometimes, some good things would result on us missing out on great things. Do you get what I'm saying? Our opinions, our perspectives, it's all flawed. There is one opinion that matters, one perspective. This perspective is truth. It's Jesus' perspective. Why am I sharing this with you guys? Because we need to understand this to understand. We need to understand who the truth is to be able to understand some truths that come from him. We need to establish that there is one truth, one perspective that matters so that we can understand some other things that are true. First of all, who are we that the Lord of all of the earth should know who we are? Why should the God of the universe care about me? We believe that we are valuable. We ascribe value to life. We ascribe value to a lot of things. But what we say doesn't matter. The value that we put on human life does not make it have value. In truth, if we base the value of life on people's opinions of what human life is worth, then we would have problems. Who am I kidding? We already do that. We already do that. That's why we have to deal with racism and why we have to deal with slavery and why people have been fighting against these things since the beginning of time. Because we base value on our opinions. If we base our value of ourselves on our perspectives, we will believe very little of ourselves because all we have to do to get depressed about our worth is to just dig shallowly into who we are. Let me share something with you. We are on a planet. In a solar system called Sol, that's the name of our solar system, if you didn't know. We're on a planet in a solar system that is one solar system in 100 billion solar systems in our galaxy alone. Feeling small? You can't even see us from space. And that's above the orbit of our one planet. Out of 100 billion solar systems, I have been told. Want to know something even more intimidating? Our galaxy that we are such a tiny part of is one in 100 billion galaxies that we know of. That we know of. Itty bitty small. Here we are in Tasmania, and we couldn't be smaller if we tried. Looking at it from our perspective, if we base our value on what we see, then we are not valuable. We are small and insignificant. I want to share with you an encounter in the Bible between Moses and God. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's huge. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say." Moses is being sent back to his homeland to free his entire nation from slavery under another nation, using God's power. But when God gives this assignment to Moses, Moses says, "But who am I to do this task? Who am I to be that man. I can't even speak well. God is giving him this assignment to go and command the king of Egypt to let God's people go. And not just that, but showing him all of these signs and wonders that he's going to do at the same time to convince him that the message is coming from God and that Moses is from God. But Moses doesn't speak well. Moses is like, but. And God actually gets angry and reminds him who he's talking to. Moses, in his own opinion, was nobody. But that's not who he was from God's perspective. Moses was God's chosen messenger. The biggest killer of people who follow God's mission is feeling like they are inadequate. What it really comes down to is whose perspective do we place value on, ours or God's? Well, we have established that our perspectives don't matter, so let's have a close look for a second at God's perspective. What does God say about us? Who does he say that we are? What value does he put on us? This is what God says, and I am speaking to every single person in this room without exception. Do not remove yourself from this because you think that it's not true for you, because it is. These are all from the Bible, but if I quoted all of these verses, we would be here all night. God says that you are loved. God says that you are valuable by yourself, just for you. You don't have to do or be anything to be valuable to him. In fact, he loved you so much that he died for you just so that he could have relationship with you and free you from all of the bad things that you have ever done, just for you. God created you intentionally. There was no mistake when he made you. No error. He created you with powerful gifts and talents. He created you with a purpose. There was a point to you being born. And he has followed you your whole life, watching over you and loving you. He just does it without condition and without it being earned. He loves you and he is very, very deliberate. Every single word that I have just said is a concrete truth about you, straight from God, and you can find each and every one in the Bible. These things are true, and no matter what we tell ourselves about ourselves, not a thing on earth can change any of those truths. This is the truth. Jesus doesn't just stop there. The God of the universe also calls us friend. The God of what is most likely well more than 100 billion galaxies calls us sons and daughters of him. He values our input. He wants us to be part of what he is doing. He doesn't want us to sit on the side and watch events taking place. He wants us to be involved with his plan, with his vision. God is drawing us into his confidence. He wants us to be involved with his plan, and he is sharing his plan with us. Can I share with you just one part of that plan? God is sending you to free our entire country, our entire nation from slavery. Australia is a nation filled with trapped people, trapped by our own perception of ourselves and other people, trapped without knowing God, isolated. They need to know all of the things about themselves that God says about you. I've heard people say to me, I hate it when Christians go around sharing their faith. They are terrible people. But what kind of person does it make me if I do not share these things with other people? That Jesus loves them, that he died for them, that he created them intentionally with purpose. That Jesus wants to save them from living a life without Jesus and the consequences of that life. That the only way to heaven is him and the alternative is hell. We live in a generation of people who are lost, trying to find their way in the dark without a light, and all they want is Jesus, and they all want Jesus, they just don't know it. And they are crying out for truth because no one is telling them the truth for fear of offending them. Jesus is calling us to free our nation because it's time for it to be free. And it starts with the people in your sphere of influence, your co-workers, your friends, your family, your neighbors. Let me share with you another truth. We see these great men and women of the Bible like Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Gideon, David, Esther, Ruth, Rahab, and others, and we're like, wow. Well, let me tell you, you are the Elijahs and the Elishas, the Davids, the Esthers, the Rahabs, the Ruths. You are the great men and women of this age. All that is required is to let Jesus use us, to say yes and take up his fight. Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We call that the Great Commission. If the band could come up, that'd be great. That commission is for you. We like to talk about these people in the Bible and look at these amazing examples. Those examples are put there to inspire us, because Jesus actually says that the people who come after him, the followers of Jesus who come after him, are going to do bigger and better and amazing things, more amazing things than Jesus did. And that's mind-blowing. Tasmania can be free. Australia can be free. All that is required is God's perspective, not ours. Let's walk out as sons and daughters of God under his perspective, under his truth, sharing the love of Jesus with anyone who needs it. I'm going to share one last thing with you, one verse from Micah. It's a call to action, and it's a very simple and it's a very easy one. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." That's it. That's the key. And it is so much simpler than we think it is. When we see injustice, we act justly. When society is ready to write people off, we love mercy. And we walk humbly with our Jesus.